When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ask for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from that classic rock band that you really liked, that your mom and dad listened to. Not the soft one that your mom eventually got into, which was like Sade, but you know, the one where she was a rebel. Like the ones we find here on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Anime Edition.
The Anime Edition. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Travis.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Brandon. And there's one thing that we know for sure in this world, a universal truth, if you will. Tonight's going to be a good episode.
Oh, that's universal truth. Absolutely. Yes. Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode 6.
Yeah.
He says inquisitively of our special, the anime edition of Interdimensional RSS, where we have been reviewing. This is a great start. We're doing great. Like Brandon said, this is going to be a great episode.
It's going to be a great episode tonight. Not tomorrow when you listen to it.
He set us up for failure. Anyway, we've been watching the anime. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. If you're new here, you can follow us on all of our social platforms. You can find us on X at Rick and Morty Pod, Facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Instagram is Rick and Morty Podcast. And you can send us emails, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We are on the subreddits, rickandmorty.reddit.com, or our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. We have video versions of our podcast. You can watch, see which one of us is talking.
Certainly.
See what shirts we're wearing.
Certainly. Anatomy Park, baby.
Throwback. That's a Loot Crate throwback. YouTube.com/apatheticenthusiasm for the video. And then if you want to support our podcast or get extra bonus features, things like that, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Watch the post shows. Have some fun. Have a few laughs. And that's it. That's the show. Thanks for watching.
Great.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Brandon, how are you doing?
You know,
it's part of the format. I get through those things and I ask you how you're doing.
You know, sometimes when I get through the format, I do the same thing to you. I ask you how you're doing. I think that's a benefit.
It's a race to see who can do the social media stuff first.
Yeah, it's a benefit of whoever does the social media. They force the other person to start talking about, try to have like something interesting that's going on in their lives at that moment. And it usually doesn't happen. So, for example, you asked me how my life is going. You know, what's going on, Brandon? Well, I'm going through Excel spreadsheets, cell by cell by cell, and I'm cross-referencing company policy with security controls to make sure that we are aligning. I went through over 200 of them earlier today. It's fine. It's nothing.
Spreadsheets or cells in spreadsheets?
Spreadsheets. Cells in spreadsheets, Travis. Sorry. You know, my brain is fried. Why am I yelling? I don't know.
One thing is for sure. This is going to be a great episode. So let's get right into it, starting with a segment that we like to call Semi-Pertinent News.
Semi-Pertinent News. If you are wise, you won't not lose. You will get some semi-pertinent things. I will start with Travis not singing.
Yeah. I think I got a double negative in there. It's not important. Anyway,
look, they're Oompa Loompas. You know, they're from Loompa Land. You can't expect them to know
Oompa
proper
Land.
English.
There's no such place. I, sir, am a teacher of geography.
Oh, then you know all about it. You know what? Hostel can. Okay,
great movie. We need to do a special episode though, where we just talk about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Let's do it.
Anyway, first story, big story. This came out this last week. The
story!
Saga.
Bro!
just screaming in his house now. The saga of the Butterbot continues. For fans, longtime listeners of the show, you know that we have been excited about the prospects of this Butter robot since it was announced back in what, like season three?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been forever.
Way back when.
That one co-creator still worked on the show. And and he was apparently very involved in the process of developing these robots as well. But we were fortunate, I guess is the right term, to talk to one of the people in charge of making sure that this Butter robot happened, Jacob Hanchar. He came on this podcast a couple of times, I believe. We had some emails going back and forth. He gave us like insider like emails or like visit, like access to internal meetings, I think.
That, yeah.
So, which I never attended. Did you end up going to meetings?
I did. I went to one and I was like, ooh, I don't know what they're talking about, but there's lots of talks about the size of washers and screws and circuit boards.
Circuit boards, all the things you care about. Anyway, for those of you that are new to the show or missed out on this, years ago, there was a promise that you could pre-order this working Butter robot from the first season of the show. It was going to pass butter. It was going to talk to you. It was going to have AI features where it would like interact with you and you could play games with it or all these different, all sorts of promises, high quality materials. Just, it was going to be the best robot ever made. And we haven't seen it. It kept getting delayed. It kept having setbacks and it kind of just stopped being talked about until this post. This is a story from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette that was shared on the Rick and Morty subreddit this week. The story is titled "Pittsburgh Toy Robot Maker Sued Over Massive Nationwide Scheme." Yikes. Not a good headline. basically what is going on is this company has been sued. It's against East Liberty, the maker of educational toys. This is apparently like a parent company of Digital Dream Labs or something like that, which was the company that was commissioned to make the Butter robot. They're saying they've cheated consumers out of at least $4 million. I'm assuming this is all in pre-orders for the robots.
Has to be, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They have accepted thousands of orders and payments ranging up to $655 each for battery-operated Butter robots, Vector 2.0 and Cosmo 2.0, but nothing provided in return. I think that was an interesting thing to me. So if you're familiar with Vector robots or Cosmo robots, the little robotic toys, all made by this same company, Digital Dream Labs. And apparently they've taken pre-orders on a lot of different robots, not just the Butterbots, and have not delivered on any of those offers. So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What were your thoughts when you saw this?
It's too bad. I know there's a few listeners of the show who pre-ordered a Butter robot. One of my friends, Greg, he pre-ordered one as well. I think like the thing that, one of the many things is communication, right? Like, sure. I think early on they were like, Digital Dream Labs was saying chip shortages and production delays and all those types of things. That's, 6 years ago. Eventually, I think what I've heard is they just stopped responding to any inquiries like that. And I know Digital Dream Labs is going through like a lawsuit with some foreign companies as well for IP theft. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. But all we know is this, Travis. There is no Butter robot. Although I did see a somebody posted in the comments of that Reddit thread that somebody on maybe a Kickstarter is trying to do an officially licensed butter robot, but the officially licensed is, I don't know if I trust that. It's easy to say.
Fool me once.
Shame on me. Shame on Digital Dream Labs. Fool me twice. Shame on Kickstarter.
Yeah. I think those are, I mean, when we first saw these, we thought, okay, these look amazing. These look awesome. They were promoting them with, I believe, the launch of a new season. So, and it was at a time when Rick and Morty hype was at its peak. I feel like that, like season 3, season 4, the pickle Rick eras, the Szechuan sauces were flowing, and people were just excited about everything Rick and Morty. And the promise of these seemed really exciting. The fact that they paired with a company that already had some success with little autonomous like robot toys seemed like a no-brainer. Every conversation that we had with Jacob, he seemed really optimistic about what was going on. But apparently there was a lot of not greatness going on behind the scenes, right? And I'm certainly not gonna apologize or be a Digital Dream Labs apologist, because yeah, it's been years. They have taken people's monies, fans' money, and have not delivered anything. And even if that's like, hey, you pre-ordered this, it's still in development. Like if there was like knowledge that like there was any risk, or that like even with Kickstarters, when you buy into a Kickstarter, you're buying into something where you know, like, this is still something they're trying to make. I'm helping fund this project, and I may not get exactly what I've put in money for or something, or it might be different than what I expected. But this was advertised on cable television as like this cool robot that's limited edition and it's coming soon, and you got to pre-order it if you want to get in on the ground floor. And it's really unfortunate that it's come to this point where they have to, you know, file a lawsuit against the company to get fans their money back. So
and that's why I don't like pre-ordering things, Travis. And that's why I'm an advocate against Star Citizen. You know, someday they're going to release that game, and people have put however, like, so much money into that. Let's not talk about Kickstarter and just donating money to something that you're never going to see. Let's talk about things we will see, because I have the DVDs in my you possession.
You have it in your possession.
I have it in my possession. I have the season 1 through 7 complete collection of Rick and Morty. And so this is just it's very pertinent to the show, semi pertinent to the anime. So maybe that's why I can fit this in. But yeah, so the entire series so far. One of the things we talked about this when the box set was first announced, special features, right? We wanted to see more special features. And so I went through some of the DVDs and I was looking at the special features. The special features, I think season 5 on, you kind of know what the special features are because you've watched inside the episode a lot of the times. So there's a lot more of that inside the episodes. Yeah. Anatomy of a Scene, Bethic Twinstinct, Anatomy of a Scene, Night Family. Explore the show's backgrounds and culling processes in season 5. One of the most interesting things that I found, especially in the, I'd say the first 4 seasons, when you pop the DVD in, right, it says, privacy is not a victimless crime. But it also says some of the interviews are not representative of Adult Swim, Warner Brothers, all that stuff. That stopped at season 5. Season 5 on, they didn't care as much. Season 4 and earlier, it seems they cared about who was talking on their behalf for the show.
Weird. Weird. I can't imagine why.
And I got to say, I have to say, I watched some of them, and a little bit, it was a little uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, why, man? Why'd you have to be such a fuck? Why'd you have to do that? Because some of the things they're saying, like, this is really interesting, but you can see a sharp decline in the amount of special features after season four. As a matter of fact, I think in season, let's see, I'm looking at season four. I've got like the little card, the cheat sheet for what is on the special mm-hmm. features. Special features for season four, A Day at Rick and Morty inside season four. There's no Harmon, no other guy. It's just artists and stuff like that. And not just, like, a bunch of talented folks. Creating snake jazz inside the episodes, prop process, character creation, animation challenges.
There's no like commentaries though, right? These are just like bonus like clips or like the inside the episodes that you would see on Adult Swim or on YouTube.
Yep.
Like the day after the episode comes out, those sorts of things.
Yeah, but I will say for the first three seasons, every episode has commentary.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, I remember fondly. I mean, mostly. Maybe not as fondly as I remember, but no, I do remember there being a lot more commentary on those early seasons.
Yeah, yeah. But aside from that, I mean, it's every season of Rick and Morty. Although I would have preferred to have Blu-ray and not DVD. And also, like, when you pop DVDs in, it gives you all the warnings and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't want to load through it. Just give me the freaking show. what year is it? There are actually two DVDs per season because of all the special features and stuff like that. And that's probably because DVDs
bring
are so
closer
small.
Closer to the center. You're cut off. There you go. DVDs there you so go. For the video.
DVDs are so small, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, you have to switch like mid-season one if you want to catch the later episodes. And there's also the other thing that came with this box set is a poster. An exclusive poster. You can't find it anywhere else but this DVD collection. Blu-ray, perhaps. Let me open it up. It's going to take a while.
Is it folded? Are we talking creases, Brandon?
Yeah, we're talking creases.
Oh boy. Hey, look at all those characters.
Look at all those special characters.
Look at them all. So the president, Dr. Wong.
Everybody's in there. Everyone's in there. Dr. Wong, everybody.
The president, all of them.
Anyway, if you're a fan of Rick and Morty and you want DVDs and or Blu-rays, go
are
go
they
check
selling
it, out.
It in Blu-ray?
I don't know, actually. I never asked. I have the press release somewhere. Oh, it's
yeah,
in my
you
kitchen.
Should read it.
I can't.
You should read it.
I can't.
I have the first five seasons on Blu-ray. I purchased the first five seasons on Blu-ray. Then I started purchasing them digitally because it was one of the easiest ways for me to review the episode multiple times without having a cable subscription. And yeah, I get those inside the episodes with my digital versions. There's a part of me that has thought about buying the more recent seasons on Blu-ray just so I have the physical collection. But at some point, like, am I going to have a Blu-ray player? I guess I just bought a PS5. So, I mean, I have a Blu-ray player for a while that's going to be around. But yeah, for the most part, now that all the episodes are like on Max and streaming platforms, it's just so much more convenient to go and just load it up on. But if you don't do streaming, if your internet is not super reliable, or you just want to not pay subscriptions, you want to own a piece of Rick and Morty history.
If you're 40 in the year 2000, then
yeah, these are all real possibilities of reasons why you may want. And here's the other thing: is like, I think this is like the third time they've released the complete like box set of Rick and Morty seasons, and it just keeps getting bigger, right? Because they're like, get all three Rick and Morty seasons in a box set, and like, get all six. And now seasons like 1 through 7. Yeah, you can buy them all. It's great. You know, I'm not here to hate on their hustle. Buy the box set if that's what you're into.
Yeah. Be like EA. Release a new version of the same game next year, and I'm sure we'll buy it
with the same bonus features from the last box set. Anyway, yeah, seasons 1 through 7 available in DVD box set soon. To steal, yeah,
no, it's out already.
Oh, it's out now.
Yeah,
go to your local retailer.
Go check it out.
Support small businesses or something. All right. That's it for the box set. It is now time for the Reddit post of the week. Brandon, what is this week's Reddit post?
First of all, I want to apologize to everybody who's listening. You want to listen about anime stuff, but we're not there yet. We have one more segment to get through. More than 20 minutes into this episode. So, the Reddit post of the week here is from Shiny Disco Balls, which if you played Dance Dance Revolution, which I did, you'd remember Shiny Disco, 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 Shiny Disco Balls. It's a song. It's a song you dance to, Travis. Okay. They write, Rick and Morty
it
marks...
It was a revolution.
Rick and Morty marks its 10th anniversary by confirming an incredibly dark fan theory. 1,000 upvotes. Slow news week here on Reddit. It's an article from Screen Rant, but basically they're posting from the 10th anniversary comic written by Alex Fearer, drawn by
friend of the podcast.
Oh yeah, Fred Stressing, and the post is, for years Rick and Morty fans have speculated that Rick is somehow messing with time to keep the Smith family the same age, and based off the comic, it seems to have confirmed that. In this issue, Rick reflects on a 10-year-old insult by Jerry and decides to move into a retirement home. As Jerry and Beth argue about Jerry demanding Rick leave the house a decade ago, Jerry suddenly realizes that Morty was 14 back then, just like he is today, asking, "He was 14 then. Did your dad do that too? Did your dad freeze us all at the same age? ! Exclamation point. Anyway, so that's... That's it.
Disclaimer alert. as often talked about on Interdimensional RSS, the express views from the comic version of Rick and Morty do not reflect actual canon from Rick and Morty, the television show.
The comics do their own thing. The show does its own thing. And it's up to you whether or not you believe it one way or the other. We've seen that in Bird Person and the Meeseeks and the Nimbus. The writers, Alex in this case, takes incredible license with what they want to do. And he's so basically much. Said, they don't tell me what to do. I don't tell them what to do. We just have fun.
Yeah. Shout out to Alex. Congrats. Congrats on the comic. Congrats on 10 years of Rick and Morty comics. I have a lot of trade paperbacks to catch up on because I only have. I do have a lot of volumes of trade paperbacks back there, but I'm sure I have more to catch up on, especially to catch up to 10 years. But yeah, very cool. Very cool that they kind of have that nod, that meta humor in the comic. And yeah, if you're a fan of the comic, let us know what has been your favorite comic over the last 10 years of Rick and Morty comics. Leave a comment in the video or send us your thoughts on any of the social posts. Leave it on a comment of the Instagram post. Do that. Follow our Instagram, please. And thank you. Yeah. And if you have any other semi pertinent news stories, about Rick and Morty or Butter Robots or anything else that you see, shoot it our way and we may cover it on a future episode. All right, that's it for semi-pertinent news. When we come back, we will be diving into the 6th episode of Rick and Morty the anime. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is now time for the thing that you came here for, the reason you downloaded the episode. That's right. It's time for the main thing.
Main thing, you saw me standing alone, had a dream in my heart. Okay.
You've definitely done that bit before.
I know I have. I know I have. As when I started it, I said,
We're so close to pre-recorded songs. If you just hit record.
But I did it better this time.
It was good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I did.
What I was going to do was main the afterlife. It could be headed for the serious strife. You see the main thing all day, but tomorrow there'll be hell to pay. Because I listened to Squirrel and Zippers before I came in.
That happens. That happens. All right, everybody. It's time for the main thing. We are discussing Rick and Morty the anime episode 6. Original air date, September 19th, 2024. Written and directed by Takashi Sano. Do you want to read our synopses, burnopses?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Editor's note. This is probably the first week since... This is the first week this season that I've written anything for the Burnopsis or Synopsis. Just after midpoint clarity, bruh. And then our synopsis, Travis, if you'd like to read that.
There's that lovely exposition.
So we have a title reference bit. It's just part of the show notes.
Yeah, I usually delete that before you get here.
Yeah, I know. But the title reference is Free Will, which references something in Terminator.
Yeah, it's a 1990s cinematic hit about a boy and his killer whale.
Wait a minute. Wait just a god darn minute, Travis. Do you think they intended that? Do you think they're like, look, it's not just about a whale. It's a metaphor for how, like, we're trapped by fate and we wanted to escape and be free into the wilderness to be, like, experience life. Free will, E? Ah, dude, you blew my fucking mind right now.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm sure that was what they had in mind. I'm sorry, what were you going to say about the title?
Something about free will. Let's get into it. You know, this episode, Travis, and correct me if I'm wrong, just start anytime you want to start. This felt like one of the most straightforward episodes where now they're explaining stuff, which, you know, for me, like, man, it's like when you're sitting in your house and the heater's off and it's getting chilly, right? So you're like, ah, I should turn the heater on. Then you turn the heater on, and that's too hot. And then you're like, fuck, now I'll turn the heater off. But then it gets too cold. So maybe I'm waffling a little bit on what I want from this show.
Maybe. I just set my thermostat to a range and then it automatically kicks on the AC if it gets too hot and the heater if it gets too cold. So
yeah, but it's not about the automation, Travis, cuz I have the same thing with my Google Home, my Nest app. It's not about that. It's about how I feel about the temperature.
That's true. It is about your feelings. And that's what television is about, is your feelings. I do agree with you. I think for the most part, this was a pretty straightforward episode. We have come over halfway through the season now, and the things that were really crazy, the things that were mixed up, that were harder for us to follow as viewers, seem to be happening a little bit less, and things are starting to come into focus in terms of the why behind why some of this is happening. And we get a huge moment in this episode where we really get that exposition, as we joked about, but it's the explanation as to what is happening, why things are happening, and potentially a hint at what needs to happen or what will happen in order to resolve the chaos from this season.
Yeah. So there's still some unanswered questions, obviously. Right. Like with Elle, she's in her human form, but then she's in an alien form elsewhere in the series. And that's probably could be explained by some of the things that she says in this one. There are infinite versions of us all at once. Yeah. So maybe that's a different version of her. But, you know, for the most part, I like this is probably my second favorite episode. Because it does like go into a little bit more like, here we go. Let's explain stuff now. Explain this vial that Rick has from the premiere episode. Okay. Now we know, Elle is not supposed to be real, but she is. And she's doing stuff like saving Space Beth and Bird Person.
Yeah. Yes, she is. It's as we get into this, dissecting this episode, I want to repeat something that I said a few episodes ago. In terms of watching this show on the subbed version versus the dubbed version, typically if I fire up this show on Max on my phone, it defaults to the dubbed version. Mm-hmm. And something about, and no hate on any of the voice actors or anybody involved with the show, but like something about that dubbed version just doesn't seem to like have the same energy or I don't know, something about it. I started watching this episode on my computer and I got the dubbed version, and like, I don't know, like they talk very fast. And so you have to read a lot of dialogue to keep up. But I don't know if that gave me a better appreciation for this episode as I was watching it, but I was like, man, I'm like really in this a lot more as I'm watching this episode. I ended up watching both versions so I can make sure I caught like most of everything that got said.
Yeah.
But yeah, you talk about Elle and like big revelations with Elle where it's kind of tying the entire season together and making sense about where she comes from, why she's there, why she's able to be in so many different places, like at the same time almost, and throughout time. And all of that was stuff that I really found interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to real quick, I want to go back to the dubbing versus the subbing. So you've confirmed that the subs are superior.
I think so. Yeah, that's
Preference. It's preference.
Preference.
I get it. What I will say is the guy who does the Morty voice is really good at Morty on the dubbed version.
I commend them.
The Rick, no, you know, again, personal preference. So this is nothing personal against you, voice actor. But the Rick comes off as bored, like he's bored. He's like bored or depressed, consistently depressed that he exists in this this world. Yeah. So anyways,
let's break down this episode. There's kind of three major themes, and we've really started talking a lot about Elle. So let's start with that, and sort of how Elle has settled in on Earth with Morty, right? Like a lot of what we see in this episode is like everybody knows who Elle is now. She helped save Space Beth. She was discovered when they all kind of came back together, and now she's hanging out with Morty all the time. She's going to school with Morty. Mm-hmm. She's sitting with him in class. They're talking about, you know, dimensional paradoxes or something while they're supposed to be listening to math with Golden Fold. And then Toby from the high school hits on Elle, and he's a bigger guy. He's putting the moves on her, and Elle just kind of like blows him off. She's like, I'm with Morty.
That's not the fate I want.
Yeah, exactly. And so then it's like them hanging out in like a very like teenage way of hanging out where like, let's go sit under a tree in the backyard with your head in my lap and we'll just talk about, you know, science or whatever we talk about. Like, I don't know. It's there's definitely a connection there. They're definitely like, Morty is head over heels for her.
Oh yeah.
I'm still questioning Elle's affection for Morty, and like, is it genuine, or do you think there is some sort of something nefarious there, or something, I don't know, like an ulterior motive with why Elle is so attached to Morty. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't really see, based off this episode anyways, it doesn't seem like there's anything nefarious about what she's doing. I don't see the same attraction to Morty as he has for her.
Right.
But
right.
She's also not fighting it, right? She's like, I think that the most telling part is where he makes that kissy face at her. He's like, mwah, 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 and she doesn't react to it, right? Then she gets called in, and then it turns out Beth is actually Rick. So I think that, you know, maybe she has some kind of affection for Morty in all the various incarnations of her existence, all the aspects of time. And since Morty's been through time, I'm sure that she keeps experiencing him. And because she keeps experiencing him, maybe all these versions of her grow that affection. And so it's been amplified over her being like Dr. Manhattan. Being past and present and everything in between.
And we get a lot of revelations about Elle, which we'll talk about here in a second. But I still wonder if there's going to be some sort of twist in these last four episodes where, like, her existence or her ability to exist within this reality or things like that is somehow tied to her connection with Morty. And almost like there's like a codependency there or something, or maybe like it is just genuine like affection and relationship, and that's going to drive the tragedy when ultimately she has to be destroyed in order to restart the universe and set things right. Because as we learn through the conversation with Rick, who is utilizing holograms to hide Elle away down in the basement so they could have this conversation, they really have that like explanation, exposition type conversation where Rick has his time bomb once again, that vial with the floating blue energy. And Elle is referred to as the antimatter of Rick's time bomb, right? When that time bomb was created, she was also created as sort of the opposing force to that. And then Rick goes on to say that like the longer it goes with him not using that time bomb, the weirder things are going to get. But basically once he does use it, it will destroy Elle as well. And it's such a huge discussion. It's such a huge point in the entire crux of the anime. I feel like it's kind of glossed over. I didn't like it's said very kind of like flatly, or like it's just said in dialogue that just like anything else they talk about in the show, to where if you blink, you miss it almost.
I almost
full transparency. I did miss it the first episode that I was watching because I was watching the sub version and I couldn't read that fast. I was like trying to keep up with what they were talking about. And it's like, oh, wait, what's going on?
I'm not going to say I watched it at work today during a break, but
no, I don't want to never put that on.
If I had done that, me and Jeff would have both noticed that in the dub version, the first time around, like I to me, it wasn't glossed over. And maybe that's because I thought Rick was being depressed, that he wasn't like he didn't seem anxious to kill off Elle for the sake of Morty. But, you know, it still seems a little bit out of character for Rick. But I did notice it. It did jump out at me.
Yeah.
It didn't seem I didn't watch the subversion this time around. So.
OK.
Yeah, but so this antimatter thing, I don't know how much that ties into like the last episode with like Super Jerry and then like the wavelengths, right? There's a little bit of thematic consistency there. I am interested to see the whole free will aspect of it. Elle keeps pointing this out to Rick, saying you make your own decision, man. Basically, you want to blow me up, all right, You don't want to blow me up? All right. I believe in free will. Which is how the episode ends. What do you make of that kind of line of dialogue?
So this it gets my point. We'll get into the other portion of this episode, which deals with like the Space Beth flashback, right? But it stems from a conversation we've had before about these episodes, where knowing Elle is aware of the future. She has these quote unquote memories of the future. And the way that she describes it in this episode, she is omnipresent. She experiences the past and the future and the present all at the same time. Like, the only reason it feels like past and present to the Smith family is because those are the moments where they are interacting with her. But she, like, the reason she's able to exist way in the past, way in the future, is because she exists like all the time, basically. And as the antimatter to this time bomb, like, that kind of makes sense. But as she's in that Federation slug craft, and you have the fight with where they're trying to save Bird Person, all these things are happening, Elle says something that I wrote down, saying that she won't let fate control her. And I thought that was like a significant line, because the idea that she can remember the future, how does she react to that? How does she respond to that? How do you make choices? How do you have free will if you know what's going to happen? I think it's interesting to have that line of, I won't let fate control me. Is she willing to do something different than how she remembers the future? Is it possible for her to do that? Those are big questions.
Yeah. The time machine, butterfly effect, all of those classic time travel stories where you go back in time, the time toaster from Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, I think season 3 or season 4. Go back in time, step on a butterfly, it changes the entire history of the world, right? Do you think, of course, we're not the writers, we're not the creatives, we don't know what's going on yet in the series, but do you think there's a part of Elle that sees that whole story all the time and is like, I know what's going to happen in the story. I know if I step on this butterfly, this is what's going to happen. So I'm not going to step on that butterfly. That is my choice to make that decision. And then as soon as she makes that choice, there's like a kind of like a echo of like her memory,
yeah,
changes, like her future changes. She's like, okay, now I see what's going to happen. Now I'm going to pick up that butterfly and put it in a bucket. And then it's like, oh, I made a different choice. Now that's my future.
Yeah. That is interesting. The idea of future memories, it gets me really thinking about like our memories and how tangible our memories are, right? Like if you and I talk about an experience that we both had together a week ago or a month ago or 15 years ago, right? We may, even though we were both there and we both experienced it at the same time, our recollection of it, our perception of it, how we remember that thing might be different, right? It's like memory is fallible. Like it's not perfect. So her memory of the future, like, does it follow those same rules? Like, is she all knowing, or is she like, I got a good idea what's going to happen. Like, or like, I vaguely remember what's going to happen in the future, right? Like, maybe that's part of it. And yeah, whatever she does, maybe it changes that future. And whatever that previous version was no longer exists to her. She can still remember the future, but she remembers something different. And there's no other memory. There's no like, oh, I remember it being a red banana. Oh no, it's yellow. And it's like, yeah, it was always a yellow banana. Yeah. Like I knew that. Right. Like maybe there's no back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting thing to think about.
What's interesting also is we're looking at L as far as maybe like changing, making different decisions changes the future. But she's also adamant that Rick makes his own decision. And, that I think that one's harder for me to understand or parse through, because if she has a future, she knows what's going to happen. She knows what's going to happen. So the free will for Rick is, or Morty or whoever, it's like that future is set in stone unless they know not to do something. Right. Unless they're informed about the future, it's hard to make a decision against what you're going to be naturally inclined to. There's this thing in therapy and like trauma and trauma responses. Not getting too deep into it. The first reaction that you have to any situation, that's how you've been raised. That's how you've been brought up. That's how you react. The second thought you have is, okay, no, let me fight against that instinct. And so maybe in some ways that first thing of Rick being like, okay, I'm going to do this, is fate. And the next thought is, okay, this is what I actually should do. I don't know. I just throwing it out there. Yeah.
Maybe.
Here's what I'll say, Travis, before we go into the next point. This is probably the most that we've gone into a discussion of the episodes and like exploring some of like the themes and concepts that we've had probably, I mean, the entire series, maybe last week was pretty close, but.
Yeah. And I mean, we could deep dive into the Space Beth stuff and the heist, which like for the most part, it's a cool kind of like B plot of her first interaction with Elle. It is historical. It's something that happened in the past, but Elle is still sort of the same Elle. We have this other backstory where we get to see Tammy's backstory and sort of how she became a secret agent for the Galactic Federation. All of that is interesting as a one-off type thing or kind of gee whiz, cool to see. But I think our conversation can be as deep as it is right now by virtue of the fact that this is the sixth episode, all episodes building on each other, connected in that same timeline, connected in that same story thread. And we can, it's not episodic in the way we're used to talking about Rick and Morty. So yeah, those first episodes were kind of confusing and kind of weird. I stand firm on my thoughts from early in the season that I think if you watch this in a binge watch sort of way, or you're able to watch it, you know, episode after episode, I think it stands up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We're going to talk about it in short outs, but I think the structure of this initially was not something that I was emotionally prepared for and intellectually prepared for. Like I was like, yeah, this the way that the series was constructed. Initially I didn't gravitate towards it. Now that we're getting more into these revelations of what's actually happening, I'm like, okay, like I get it. This is pretty cool. I dig it. Yeah.
Now I want to bring up something else. Kind of you mentioned it, the Tammy stuff. Looking at this, we've been looking at it as a standalone, you know, a new spin versus spinoff. This seems to have a definitive backstory for Tammy.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to ask you, how do you feel about that? Are you okay with this being the backstory? And if you are okay with this being the backstory for Tammy, are you okay with this actually applying to the Rick and Morty universe at large?
I am okay with this being a backstory for Tammy. I am still on the fence about calling anything in this series like the definitive backstory for anything in Rick and Morty proper. I still think it's two separate things, right? Even though they've said C-137, I think at one point in the show, it feels like this exists in a separate dimension, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. I also have this like theory I'm kicking around since watching this episode where maybe all of what's going to happen in this series is going to be for naught or not matter, because at some point at the end of the show, he activates the time bomb and it resets time or takes it back to some sort of reset point where it was created or something. And then all of the events of this series are kind of like blinked from existence and reset. And so therefore don't matter. I'm fine with this being a backstory for her. And I think it's an interesting backstory, like the idea of escaping some sort of like abusive home or something, trying to get out on her own and then getting picked up by the Federation and sort of being molded into the secret agent that she was. It gives more context to Tammy and a little bit more backstory. Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
Okay. All right. So you're not against it.
If not it, anti. No. Are you anti?
No, I'm for infinite universes. So realities, all these different things, even if it's a new spin, it can give us an idea of who Tammy is and where she came from and how she got to infiltrating the high school to befriend Summer. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick before we get out of here, I try to find some favorite bits, some best and worst parts of the episode, even though it is structured differently. One of my favorite one-liners from this episode is where the hologram Elle and Beth are still preparing dinner, and Beth presents the dinner saying that Elle helped, and then mostly says she just like peeled lettuce. And Morty's exclamation like, wow, shredded lettuce. Like he's just like so excited for anything Elle does because he's head over heels for her. And so she can do no wrong. I don't know. I feel like the next time we have like taco salad at my house, I'm just gonna be like, wow, shredded lettuce.
You should. I'm getting El Pollo Loco in a little bit. And you damn right, I'm gonna say some of that shredded lettuce. One of my favorite bits.
Not a sponsor.
The Chicken Crazy. Brought to you by Apathetic Enthusiasm and Rick and Morty Podcast. So one of my favorite bits was it's not a story point. It's when Space Beth is going into the flashback mode. And it's a visual thing where it does like that very artistic, stylistic. It goes from black and white and then like kind of does like a wipe up and down the screen.
Yeah,
and
almost like it's being torn away or something like that. That way that wipe looks. I don't know. It is kind of visually cool how they do that transition.
Yeah, they make it known that it's a flashback, and then when she's coming back into the present, it does the reverse. I really really thought that was so cool.
Yeah, I agree. I talked about it before. I think probably the best part of the show for me was that dialogue between Elle and Rick down in the sub basement underneath the garage. That really kind of gave more context and gave more insight into what's been happening throughout the entire series. So I don't know. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Travis, do you have any other thoughts? Because I've got two segments left.
Two whole segments. No, let's get right into them. Brandon, what's up next?
All right. But Jeff hasn't watched the original series, but he's watching the anime minute. He told me not to ask all these questions for sake of time. He said, if you need more time, you can read them all, but you don't have to. And I said, I don't ever try to pad the time of the episode. I'm always trying to get out of here.
He's got a El Pollo Loco to eat.
Let's see. So how does I don't want to ask that one. Space Beth is aggressive, is an aggressive personality of Beth. Why are both Beths big jerks? Ooh, you're trying to get me with that alliteration, Jeff.
That's just the nature of Beth. She's Rick's daughter. That's who she is.
Yeah, but isn't someone in the family supposed to be the caring, observant one?
Is that always true in families? Sorry you grew up in such a stable household, Jeff.
Yeah, quit rubbing it in, Jeff. God, why do you think I'm in therapy, Jeff? All right. Let's see. Isn't this Rick the Rick from her dimension, and the one he's referring to is long-haired Rick from the dimension that he's taken over for? He might have been asking these questions as we were watching the episode.
It's funny, as you had that aside, you held up your phone and I saw just how many questions were on your phone. Jeff, man. Yeah.
He asked more questions because I was in the room with him. He made an appointment That's on my fair. Calendar for talking about C-137. As if
I respect it. I respect
yeah,
it.
As if no one's gonna know Rick and Morty's dimension. Okay. Let's see. Here's a question you can answer, Travis. Isn't Tammy Birdman's daughter? See, he said Birdman, fucker. Why is she captured and working for Federation? If she is supposed to be his daughter, why does she suddenly look totally human? Answer it.
All right. Tammy is an undercover Galactic Federation agent who met Bird Person at a party that Summer was throwing at her house. They got it on. She wanted to get some of that bird D, right? Eventually they fall in love and they get married. Huge wedding episode. The whole family flies out for it. Come to find out during the reception, Tammy is actually a double agent. She kills people, including she shoots Bird Person, there's a huge shootout. Things go down. She ends up still loving Bird Person, and causes him to be like rebuilt as Phoenix Person. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But no, they're love interests. And partners in crime, maybe? Yeah. Not, and, I don't know. And it's complicated.
And she has Bird Person's daughter.
Yeah.
So
Bird,
Tammy...
Bird daughter.
Tammy and Bird daughter are two different people.
Yes.
Tammy is Bird daughter's mother.
Yeah. Hence the resemblance.
And there you go, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jeff also said that he is going to start watching the original series. I don't know if he has yet, but he said, what have you done to me, Brandon? He said,
hey, Jeff, if you're looking for a way to watch the original series, might we recommend seasons 1-7 available Woo! Now in a box set on DVD?
With commentary from the creators of the show, Dan Harmon and other people.
And others. All right, let's get into our final segment, listener suggestions and short outs. This was potentially going to be a Reddit post of the week, but and I don't know, is this actually a short out of the show, or are we just squeezing it in here because it's not a short out of the show.
When you first
showed it to me, I was like, is he speaking directly to the two of us in this comment? She or they or them?
Yeah.
I was at first like, sorry, I'm not a huge anime person. Anyway, back over to you.
Thank you for the introduction, Travis. Very succinct. So here, I do the commentary for the episodes in the Reddit, and I need to speak on this. The Redditor said, none of you watch anime and it shows. This show is so good. And I asked, I need to speak on this. What's your favorite parts about it? What makes you like it so much? And I need to speak on this by saying every episode except for episode 5, which is more in line with the original show, builds on the last in an overarching narrative plot. This is typical anime style of what I can call the mindfuck genre. The anime intentionally keeps things vague to keep you guessing as it builds the overall plot. The show introduces you to a chaotic scenario intentionally because time and space are fucked up because of L and slowly begins putting itself back together as she comes to the forefront. Other good anime in this style are 86, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Madoka Magica. The anime is not going in style with how Rick and Morty typically goes. I think, specifically because it is an anime, they want to go in a different direction that is otherwise typical of the show, much to the disdain of the fans of Rick and Morty. So the reason I shouted them out is because they responded to me directly, and so in a way it's like responding to the show.
Sure.
But it's kind of what we have been talking about this whole episode, really, is, you know, it is building off of each other. Now we're seeing the pieces, we're putting the pieces in place. And whereas episode one, we're like, what? And episode two and three, four, we're like, what? By five and six, we're now like, okay, oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Thanks for speaking on that. I need to speak on this.
I appreciate the comment. I appreciate the context and the pointing to other series in the genre that maybe also follow a same narrative structure or things like that. I will say for myself, the way this show started, the first few episodes for me were too confusing. Like there were not enough, and there's still elements from those first episodes where I'm like, I'm six episodes in now, and I'm like, I still don't know why that was in there, or why that made sense, or why, you know, why did I keep seeing the same flying worm over and over again? Like, I guess it's messing with time or messing with dimensions, things like, okay, sure. I don't know. Why was it sold as VR if it wasn't VR? Was it VR? Were parts of it VR? I don't know. I think it was still confusing. And he says that it's intentionally confusing to kind of keep the fans guessing and stuff like that. Okay. Maybe there was a adjustment period for me coming from existing Rick and Morty and my expectations for narrative formats from that show and having something so different in the anime. At this point, as things are coming together, I have a better appreciation for it. It was definitely difficult to adjust to for me. And I think for a lot of fans, if they only have the first two or three episodes to go on, may not stick with the show because they're not used to watching shows like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe I just don't like anime.
maybe it's just not your style, Travis.
But I can't like everything.
Shout out to, I need to speak on this. Thank you for,
huge short out
for doing that. And also thank you to, Civil War. It's such a good movie. I don't know if I recommended it to you last week, Travis, but
you talked about it last week. Yeah. I don't know if you talked about it in the actual show, in the post show, or just when we were hanging out afterwards, but we did talk about it.
I hear the Penguin is really good too. I hear the Penguin is really good.
I don't know. And I don't know if narratively, if the story structure is something I can do.
Agatha All Along is supposed to be pretty good too. You know, these are the things that we talk about on the post show. But before we get there, what we want to say is, if you have anything for us, if you have points that you want to talk about these episodes or any of our semi-pertinent news, please reach out to us on our email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com, our Instagram, please follow us there, or X before it goes.
Leave a comment in the video if you're watching online, any of those places. Yeah.
And shout out, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your screen name, your YouTube handle before I started talking, but thank you for posting when we actually start talking about the main thing in the comments. You're the best of all of us.
You're doing the Lord's work for sure. Yeah, we appreciate it.
But Travis, I will give you the last word because I have to switch original sound for musicians on and stop talking.
That's right. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like, subscribe, do all the things. And we will catch you next time. Until then, I'm Travis. He's Brandon. Mm-hmm. We'll see you later. Bye, everybody.
Fa All into big savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.